Okay, I'll call the meeting to order at 6:02 p.m. on Monday, August 11, 2025. Can we all stand for Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag, to the Republic,
one nation, God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Okay, number three, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Dana Florenza.
Here.
Brian Capolo. Gino DiGiovanni.
Here.
Carly Peck. Carlene Gluzzi. Record should reflect there's four present for a quorum.
Thank you. Number four, approval of minutes. Do we have minutes? No. Can I get a motion to table, please?
Motion.
Second. Motion, Dana. Second. Carlene, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Number five, public portion. Anybody from the public wish to speak? Is there anybody online there, Mark?
One person.
If you're on Zoom, you could unmute your mic and just state your name and address for the record. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Third and last time.
If ahead. Nobody else wants to speak, my name is Mark Carfalo, town clerk in the city of Derby. I just want to speak on regarding item number six, report on meeting with Steinberg Hart. If you could, as part of your report, just update everybody on who was interviewed for the study. Thank you.
Noted. Anybody else from the public wish to speak? Third and last time, anyone from the public wish to speak? Okay, public portion is now closed. We'll move on to number six. Report on the meeting with Steinberg Hart and give an update on the progress of the study. Okay, so we had a progress meeting with Steinberg Hart a couple of weeks ago. They updated it. We emailed you guys all the slides, the minutes to, you know, the meeting and per discussion. I don't know off the top of my head who Duncan and Steinberg interviewed. Do you know that by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to tell you now?
Yeah.
Brian
Please.
Polo, Carlene Galuzzi, Matt Wielander, Dave Condon. Pretty sure, and someone from Center Stage, but I don't know who. He got his own contact. I'm not sure exactly who, but somebody from Center Stage in Shelton.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions or concerns on the information that we sent everybody by email? Go ahead, Dave.
Dave Condon. I read what they said about not putting a fly system in. They didn't felt it was needed because they really wouldn't put on those kind of performances. I'm absolutely against that because we're going to get one chance to raise this money. And if we don't put it in, we're going to limit what we can put on there. I don't care if we're doing a high school show or Center Stage is going to do a show. You're going to need, he's been in show business himself. You're going to need a fly system. And if we're going to raise the money, we got one shot to raise it and put it in. We did a theater in Shelbyville, Indiana. It's a 275-seat community theater. We put a fly system in. They use it every play. So I think if we're going to spend the kind of money we're talking about spending, that would be penny wise and pound foolish not to put the fly system in.
Well,
so that's the only thing I had to say.
Okay, noted. So where we are right now, if you looked at
information, the record should reflect that Mr. Capolo entered the room at 6:07 p.m.
Thank you. Where we are, the back of the stage, the distance between the wall, the inside wall, the stage is not determined yet. So It's my understanding that there was not a discussion on what type of fly system, or I don't think it's set in stone as to no fly system. I just don't think we're at that stage yet.
When I read the thing, it said they were not recommending a fly system.
They did say that, but this is just the feasibility study. We don't have to.
Well, you know what I said to you on the email.
Right.
I just think that.
Just because they say that.
Right.
There doesn't need to be one in this study doesn't mean that we don't get to put one.
We're going
to
have one shot at this. I think we as an organization, when we start to raise the money, need to put our best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to put it in and pay for it when you're doing it originally than if we had to go in after the fact.
Okay, well, you're going to sit on the next meeting with us. And you
can, I appreciate you asking me to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you're in on top of the stage looking up, you know, all the wood girders that are there now and all that, that's all going to be replaced with structural steel. That was all put in to where we are right now. But I just don't know. I just don't think we're at that final part yet. We don't even know how wide or how deep the stage is going to be, depending on where the elevator goes and how it gets put in. So I think we're in the beginning stages of that.
It was callous to put that statement in this early in the process. I know where they were coming from. They're trying to save money. And
that's exactly
and,
it.
And you know what? I don't care, because if we have to raise, you know, $19 million instead of $17 million or $15 million, I don't care. We got to do it right this time, because everything that's ever been done with that has been half-assed. And we're going to do it right. So we're going to do it, we do it right. If we're not going to do it right, don't do it at all.
Well, in the meetings, they always ask us for feedback. So this is something we can definitely
give. I just, to be honest with you, I just don't think we even know where. I think it's way too early to say to put it or not put it. We don't even know the depth. We don't know the height. We don't know the width of where we're at right now. So I don't want you to think that it's a definite out. It's not a definite out. It's not a definite in. Nothing is written in stone. I mean,
the depth of the stage doesn't impact the fly system. The fly system is mounted right inside the curtain area, and it doesn't go back that deep. I don't know. I didn't know anything about this until we did one. I didn't even know what a hell of a fly system was. But we got this company in Indiana that specializes in it. It was $1 million. They donated 500,000 of it and gave us the system for 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that theirs is located, Gino, right up against, you know, where the pillars are at the front of the stage that frame the stage. That's mm-hmm. where it's located. It's right behind that. So that it's not deep in the stage. It's right where the curtain, you know, to handle the curtain and everything. So, I'm not going to make a federal case out of it, but I think
they're trying to save money.
I'm just telling you from a fundraising standpoint.
Right.
If it's a $1 million difference, that sounds like a lot to a lot of people. That isn't a lot in a fundraising campaign to do it so we have it, because it will cost you three times that to go back in and retrofit it if we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only point I'm making.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
yeah.
May I? I mean, I think you need more input, like definitely from people that. I mean, I agree with Dave. Like, I mean, it's kind of shocking to hear that a fly system is critical to this, is a critical a component of this particular space because of the lack of adequate wing space. I mean, that, you know, I mean, flying equipment is very expensive. But in this space, because you don't have adequate wing space, albeit the depth of the stage is sufficient, but the wing space is definitely not conducive to like a full scale show, like with sets and so forth, you know, mm-hmm. because just the space is not there. I don't even think it's an option in my, you know, based on, you know,
Mark, can I ask you a question? You probably know better. Do you know the curtain, the fire curtain, you know, that's typical in the stage? Doesn't that get
the stage curtain or the proscenium in the back?
So there's a stage curtain.
Yeah.
And then there's a fire curtain that goes in back of it. I'm not sure if that one goes up and down or the stage curtain comes in and out. Anyway, all that gets controlled or hung or what have you on the fly system. The fly system goes then two or three sections I'll call deep, so that you have scenes that come down or up or so forth and so on. And is that that's what I'm talking about? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, but yeah, I think we're all talking about probably variations of it. But I mean, typically the stage curtain, like the basically say, okay, the show's over,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be part of the fly to go up and down, but I mean, to that might be an area to save money to have it just go left to right. Like, you know what I mean? That probably, you know, it doesn't necessarily, because typically the flying equipment would start mostly like from the back to the front of the stage, like upstage, the back, you know, the furthest.
And this is a steel, then there a metal cage that comes down, you hang the lights up to it and all that.
The one we did
put your mic on, Dave.
The curtain does run. The one we did in Indiana, the curtain does run on the fly system, and it goes left to right. Because the fly system, if you do it correctly, has pulleys going in both directions and up and down.
Okay.
So I was shocked when I saw it. I went out to see it in person after it was done.
So I think there's a little bit of...
But I suspect, I haven't seen any of these documents, but it's probably good. Can you forward those? Because like nobody in the administration, I think, you know, probably would benefit to have more eyes on it, just so that
I can send it to you.
Everybody's, you know, in the family on it.
Again, it's just the preliminary.
Yeah, no, I know, and I appreciate that. But I think like fly system, I'm not a technical theater person, but because fly, like you could have bars, basic, like in the most basic sense, bars that go up and down. You could hang the lights on them, and you basically might put them up and down once for a show. You set them, and that's it.
Correct.
The fly system that. When I'm thinking of it is like for scenery, that would be something that you would want to have a mechanical system, not like a hand pulley system,
right?
Because it's got to go up and down how many times during the show, you know, up and down, and you know, whatever it would need to be. So it's probably would be good to get like a little bit of further understanding of that, because it's going to be cost driven. And also, like, you know, it's one thing to say it's going to be a girder, like a steel girder. But, you know, one steel girder is one thing. But will it hold? Will it be able to hold a bunch of them or whatever? Because they're heavy. They're you know, they're dangerous. You know, in the old system, Derby High has a primitive one. And Shelton had, you know, where you had a – in the sense that it wasn't – mechanized it, you know, you basically you pull it. Correct. And then you had to put like weights on it.
You're talking about the one in the auditorium we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's really used now, but I'm saying those kind of things are not, they're heavy because the lights are heavy, you know, the instruments are heavy to put on there. So
my only point was, if we don't put it in, it limits the kind of shows we can bring in.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody, not them or us, can predict what kind of shows we want to bring in.
Yeah.
And if we have a chance to bring in traveling shows, or we want Center Stage to be the operating theater or whatever, they've got to be able to put on adequate performances and move the scenery in a like manner. I thought they were crazy when we did it in Indiana. It's a 275-seat theater. I said, what do you need it for? Then I went out and saw it in action, and then I realized why they need it. That's what brought it to my mind when they said, they're not really recommending one. I don't care if they're recommending it. If we're going to raise the money, we're going to raise it once.
Yeah.
We can't go back again. We can't. If this campaign succeeds, you can't go out for 20 years at this level. So we got to make sure you guys and everybody in the town and the people in the theater world get what they need to perform. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does anybody have any other questions or comments on any of the materials that were sent to the board or its members? Okay, if not, we'll move on to number 7, committee updates, garden club, deco for museum. This is for what's his name? The Kellogg?
Yeah.
Okay, so What was that lady's first name? Do you know? So Kellogg, Linda? Yeah. So Linda, yeah. So Kellogg, Osmondale Kellogg Museum, is contacted us. They came to the 350th when we had the tours there, and they asked us if we had some artifacts from the Sterling Opera House. This November, they're putting on a display there. I guess they have certain themes that they go through, and this year is going to be the Sterling Opera House. So I told her that we do have artifacts and things that we can give her, and I got some of the things from Chief Andy Cota. He's got a couple of things. So we're getting in contact with her, getting the things together, and we're going to give them to her to quote unquote rent or use for the time being, borrow, so that they could put on their display. I think it'll be a good opportunity for not just people in the community, but also people in the general area or the tri-state area. There are many visitors that come and go to this event, and it'll be on for, I believe it's the whole month. So, yeah. But I'm getting the things together there for her. Also, too, I don't know if she's going to be able to use it because it is quite big, but a resident in the city, April Brzezinski, she just had knee surgery, but she has, I believe it's like an 8 foot high display. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if she knows where it came from.
His husband made it.
Okay. Maria Blackwell's husband made it. Yeah. It's a big display of the Sterling Opera House. And she has it in her garage. So we're going to get that and preserve that too. And I just don't know if that's going to be too big or if it's something that they're going to want to use there. But it's really nice. She sent us pictures of it. So, right? Dana? Do you have anything else?
I'd like an update on the surveyor. What's going on here?
So the surveyor got the money got transferred to the line item in the Sterling Opera House at the last tax board meeting. The mayor was on vacation last week. I believe he's back today or tomorrow. I didn't have a chance to call, but I called the surveyor last week, and Freddie D'Amico is going to be the surveyor. He's already, I believe he already came to City Hall prior to last week and pulled the documents that he needs to do the survey. I gave his contact information to Evan from Steinberg Hart, and hopefully in the next week or so, we will have that updated and then transferred to the records for the city. And then we'll get that over once it's stamped and approved by Freddie to Steinberg Hart. And then once we have that, that'll then dictate where the elevator can and cannot go. That'll also dictate how we get in and out of the building. That'll also dictate the amount of space behind the stage. That's going to dictate and drive a lot of the things. So,
well, there are going to be multiple different plans, right? They're not going to say this is the hard and steady way we're going to do this. Are they going to give us options if options are possible?
Options for
where the elevator may go or something like that?
So on the elevator, probably not. So the one option was to go in the center of the building, once you walked in the foyer there, which was very structurally prohibited. We'd have to move a lot of things. It wasn't very cost effective. Another
the side, right?
Another one was the side, but in the building off of the side where in between the two buildings in that little alcove there. Mm-hmm. And then the third option, which looks like it's going to be the best and most cost-effective way, is to do it on the exterior of the building and in between the two buildings, make a corridor that goes down the length of the building in between the two buildings. And then you would just get off. That would also be a freight or service elevator, also a one that opens back to back as well. So it'll be off of Olivia Street for freight service for the stage. And then from Elizabeth Street to 4th Street would be for patrons up and down And you would get in the first, it would go down a floor, but it would go then first, second, and third floors all the way up.
Right. And then building an atrium off of that?
Yes.
So, or a vestibule? Yeah. So that's
the point of the survey. Yeah.
That's why I was bringing it up, because yeah, this is very paramount to making sure that we have enough space to do these things. Yep. All right. Thank you.
What else?
That's
all. Sure. Oh, so yeah, when is that? I think it's next week. Yeah, so next week Steinberg Hart is coming to the 19th, I think. Is coming to the building with the mechanical engineer, the HVAC engineer, and I believe the structural engineer back to the building to do some more, you know, measurements and gather some more information to see where we could put ductwork. Since we're, you know, they're moving into the next stages of the, you know, plan. So we're going to meet with them. I talked with Linda Fusco about it. She knows about it. And that's going to be on that Tuesday. I'm still waiting for Evan to call me back with the time. But so it's, you know, I mean, not to get into the X's and O's and the nitty gritty, but it's moving along and it's going to take time. I mean, we're starting a little bit behind. From getting a little mixed up there in the beginning, but you know, we already had two progress reports and we're moving forward, and some things come up and it takes a little bit of time, like the survey. We would have thought that you know, we would have had a survey done before then, but it's moving forward, so we're on track for that.
Let me put the microphone on. The 501c3 has been filed, as I reported last month. That then had to be reported to the state of Connecticut, because the actual name of the corporation is the Sterling Opera House Restoration Inc. So they had to go back and we had to get a different EIN number, which they were able to do, and we put that in place. And in order to be listed as a registered charity in the state of Connecticut, which we need to be, I had to provide them with a banking relationship. So I went to Webster Bank and I opened a bank account in the name of Sterling Opera House Restoration, Inc. I had opened it with a $100 deposit, which I put up. I got to go back to them tomorrow because I have more papers to sign. But we did receive our certification and a really nice looking certificate saying that Sterling Opera House Restoration, Inc. is now a certified charity in the state of Connecticut.
Awesome.
So that's the thing we needed that will kick back to the 501c3. And as I reported last month, the good news is any donations we pick up going forward, once the 501c3 is in place, can backdate the tax write-offs, which I don't really see any of the donations of that size coming in we have to worry about. But if one did come in, we would be able to do that. So the feds are still saying 3 to 6 months. They also told me it was going to take a month to get the preliminary work done, and they got it back to me in 3 days. So that allowed me to trigger and I have to keep filing reports with the state. So those have all been filed. You know, Sterling Opera House Restoration, Inc. is bona fide. We're good through August of 2026. We're now a registered charity. And hopefully within the next 3 to 6 months, we'll have the 501c3 and we're ready to go.
Dave, you're filing all those reports every 30 day, every month?
They don't have to be every month. They have to be
every on quarter
basis. So I filed
on an annual basis.
So I filed the one that was due July 1st and they accepted it. And I'll continue to do that. And I probably will continue to do it until, you know, we have that's what I don't understand. It's where the 501c3 is going to interface with the commission, because the 501c3 is, because they're going to be the fundraising arm, we're going to have to file those reports, not the commission. I don't know what we have to step some point, establish a relationship between the 501c3 and the city who is the registered landowner, which is my understanding, they own the building.
Yeah.
And we'll have to go with that at some point, but we don't have to do that now. We just wanted to get everything in place so when the time comes, everything that had to be checked off, all the boxes that had to be checked off. It's so, mind-boggling when you get down to it.
So hypothetically speaking, the 501c3 and the commission are two completely separate entities.
It has to be completely separate.
Correct. And then what would happen hypothetically, and then we'll talk to Corporation Council once we get that far, and whomever we need to, which Timmy Dillon is ours, so we'll have to have a meeting and sit down. But the 501c3 is going to be the fundraising vehicle. So right. They're going to raise, hypothetically, $5 million for the project. The city of Derby, in turn, is the landowner or the building owner. Right.
They'd have to present the 501c3 with the projections of what they need to do the restoration.
So what I think...
501c3 would cut the check to the...
So what I think would happen is the city of Derby would go and get and do a public bid, get a bidder, award the bidder for X amount of dollars of $5 million. And the 501c3 would then pay the city of Derby the $5 million along the way or however it's set up. And then that's how it would have to work.
The 501c3 maintains the accounts. So when the city of Derby wants to change something in the building and they have a contract, because they're the property owners and because the sole purpose of the 501c3 is the restoration of the theater, they would say, we've sent out three bids. This is the one we suggest. This is how much it costs. And they would submit a request for that funding from the 501c3. And I don't see any reason why the 501c3 wouldn't just approve it. And then the money gets transferred to do it. The interesting thing is when we do a campaign like this, the money's not going to be all up front. It's going to be payable over 5 years. So we have to have a signed intent to give from each donor, including foundations and state money. That then becomes we can collateralize it to do a construction mortgage, but it would be the construction mortgage that has to be gotten by the 501c3 because they're the recipient of the donations. And then that pays the city to do the thing. So just so you know, the only three people on the 501c3 right now, the three officers, are myself, Tom, and Matt. Mm-hmm. We can add more people. Mm-hmm. So if one of you or more than one of you wanted to come on to the 501c3, you could do that, but you would have to drop off the commission.
Right.
Because you mm-hmm. can't double dip. Mm-hmm. So at some point you might want to consider that.
Yeah.
At some point you might want to consider what is the parameters of the commission's ability to do anything, and would you be better off serving on the 501c3?
Right.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that's a decision you guys have to make, but that's the way it would have to be done.
Yeah.
But anyway, everything's in motion, which is means we're light years ahead of where we were 3 months ago.
Thank you for everything you've done.
It is what it is. It's,
we appreciate it.
I wanted to get it done. Fortunately, I have a very understanding wife, so when I keep putting these checks through my account, she accepts it. Anybody have any questions about that?
I do not, no.
Oh, good. Okay. Then I'm toot the finoot.
Any other updates about, so we'll, if not, well,
question.
Sure.
Just like for the public then. Oh, sorry.
So just like speaking for the public, when theoretically are we going to have the feasibility study done? Because I know we've been kind of like back a little bit. Do we have a set? Like, do they have
I
it?
I think they said fall.
Okay.
Yeah, the table's open ended.
There's no set date. Okay.
No, we're still waiting on.
On everything else. Okay.
Yeah.
I just figured since,
there's going to be more meetings.
Okay.
And that you will be let known when they will be.
Yeah.
As soon as we know, you can join in.
Okay. But that should be in the coming months as well. So that's good.
So there was a progress calendar that was sent in the last group of slides. That was emailed from the meeting. There's tentative date in there. And I forget what it is.
I have that, yeah. It was, yeah. But I wasn't sure if that was, exactly.
Let's see. If nobody else has that, we'll go on to number 8, discussion of upcoming events.
So before we decadence.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to do the Ansonia Harvest Fest? It's on October 4th. We had talked about it, so I just wanted to know so we can apply and
you can take both. I only purchased both.
Didn't get to that yet.
So go ahead, the Harvest Festival.
Yeah, do we want to do that? October 4th. I believe that's a Saturday.
Can we talk about that at a later date?
Well, we're going to have to get the booth. They're calling. I think they're calling for vendors and stuff already, right?
Yeah. I have to know if we need to.
I think we should do it.
I'm all in for that. The Seymour Pumpkin Festival, I was going to let you know that we cannot do.
The what?
The Seymour Pumpkin Festival, we won't be a vendor. You have to have so many sales and stuff to show, and we're not there yet.
Oh, gotcha, right.
So maybe next year.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing to do, either Shelton or Ansonia, just to keep it fresh. I mean, when that was another thing that we just did. We went to the Derby Shelton Rotary Club, and we spoke there. We did our PowerPoint presentation. That went off really well. Jack Walsh was there, amongst many others. But that went off really well. A lot of people didn't really know how far we were. So I think that opened up a lot of eyes as well. So listen, I think if we can do it, I'm in for it. I'll help that day. But just to go and keep it relevant and up at the top of the list. I think it's a good thing to do.
I agree.
Do we know? You get in touch with Rich DiCarlo?
I can. I'm just going to ask Dave.
Should you consider putting the booth in the all class reunion on the 30th? Well, a lot of people coming back that went to school here.
What are they doing?
August 30th is the all class reunion. They're going to close. Mark was just telling. They're going to close Elizabeth Street from the green down, and there's going to be people from all over that went to school here that are going to come back for that one night.
I think that's.
Oh, I didn't know. Solid yeah,
lead
that,
there.
That could be a good way of educating people who no longer live in the valley but are coming back.
Can we get an impromptu tour?
Had their childhood here.
Can we do an impromptu tour for that?
Just a thought.
When is that? August 30th. Okay.
Five to something. That's on Mark was just telling us. We have food vendors, trucks. And they're hoping to get as many graduates, so, you know, Derby High School, and to come back and be part of it. The last time they had it was with it. So people we hadn't seen in years.
Dave, put your mic on.
The last time we had it, there was people we hadn't seen in years. They all have Derby High. That's the only reason I brought it up.
All class. Yeah, it's not
like okay.
Well, you know, they all have ties.
Okay.
And as a point of order, Tommy and I want to buy the new t-shirts since we have the old t-shirts we got the day we did the walkthroughs.
August 30th. Oh, it's a Saturday. Okay. All right. So I think, I guess we'll look into that. We'll look into the Harvest Festival. I think we could either call Mayor Cassetti or Rich DiCarlo and get the info on that, Ansonia.
I can do that if you want.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other events that we got?
Yeah. Carlene, you want to?
Yep.
Look what you need up.
So I've been working with Mike Picone, again from Twisted Vine, to set up a walking tour. That would start at the Twisted Vine, work our way up to the Opera House, include an Opera House tour, go across from the green, past, I would do a little blurb at the Elks Club, the Elks Lodge, and then back down and finish at the Twisted Vine. I made a like flyer, example flyer. I have some dates that would work well for Mike because I wanted people to be able to park across the street in the lot. So I didn't want him to have any other events going on where it's going to be too packed and people can't find parking and, you know, so on and so forth. So he mentioned that Saturday, October 11th would be the best day If not, September 27th is also open, but the 11th would work best for him.
The 11th would work best for me.
Okay.
That's October 11th?
October 11th. So that would be the weekend after the Harvest Festival. The times I figured would be 2 to 6 p.m. This way it's a little bit in the afternoon. And honestly, if it's in October, it's probably going to be cooler out. So it might be better for walking. I routed the map and it looks like it's about a half a mile to go up and then down and back around. There would be 13 time slots. We would have a slot go off every 20 minutes. We would need at least 3 people to be the tour guides that would walk. And then I was hoping that we can have, if we open up the Opera House, we can have some of the guys did a great job. I know that was a lot for them, but if we could, if we could have, you know, someone up there so that when the walking tour guide gets to that point, the group can go up and the group can come back down and then, you know, we continue with our group. It would end up being, if we did 10 people per group, and again, we can adjust that. I just figured I don't know. From the fire marshal, was it 10 people that were supposed to be allowed?
Yeah.
In the theater. So if we did 10 people per 13 slots, it's 130 people that could, you know, go through on this tour. We'd also, I was thinking to charge $20 per person. This would all be donation, you know, to the Opera House.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd be looking at like a profit of about $2,800 at that point. If you charge the $20 per person. And let me see what else on here. I think that's really it. Our last group would take off at 6 o'clock. So we probably wouldn't be done until like 6:45 by the time we got back around. So for us, it would be like a 5-hour event. For everybody else, it would be about a 3-hour event, you know, or, you know, 45 minutes the tour takes.
When does it get dark on the date in October?
In October, probably around like closer to 7. So we would be coming back just as like sun would be setting, like usually like 6:37-ish. I'd also, Mike Picone, he doesn't usually open until like 4 or 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. He said he would open up early if anybody wanted to, you know, get food there earlier or stay, you know, afterwards. He opened, like we can go inside and have our tour meet inside. He does have like that little like bar section area where people can come and meet first, or we could do it outside and have a booth outside where people can just come in and out. And I figured, I just think that it would be good to have our merchandise for sale, either at the Twisted Vine or right outside the Opera House while people were waiting to go in. I think it might be like profitable for either way. So we would need a lot of hands on deck. It would be, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
definitely.
We would need everybody.
Yeah.
For sure. I love
it. I like it.
It's awesome. Absolutely.
So the information.
For the tour, I have a script that each tour guide would use. I'll like laminate it and everybody, for everyone. And, you know, you could always add in if you know extra stuff. I mean, we're volunteers. If you know extra stuff about the area, throw it in. I know a lot of people that would probably go on the tour would have a lot of information to say as well. And, you know, I love hearing new information.
So this information on this flyer is mm-hmm. tentative, but this Correct. Is pretty much the main structure of what we want to do. When, what time, where, and all that. So Correct. I could bring this to the mayor.
Correct.
And Linda when I meet with them this week.
Yes.
If you're comfortable with this, then yes. I can send it to you to post on Facebook it's approved. And
Yeah. I want a copy. Send
me. And then
the best part of the tours and the way we worked it was the three of us with Mark Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished up with the fundraising and everything was the questions that were generated.
Mm-hmm.
And really genuinely good questions. That were generated, which showed enthusiasm on the part of the people that went on the tours. Of course, nobody ever expected we'd take that many people through.
Mm-hmm.
So this may shock you. I mean, if you split this out, you might get more people than you anticipate. Wow. There's a lot of interest in this.
To be honest with you, my guess is, you know, the time that we have, what, 130 people or mm-hmm. something? That'll get...
Like that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to limit it if you're going to do it that way.
So that's why. So it would be limited tickets available. I think that people should reserve. I didn't know how to... do this part. I don't know if they should reserve like through email. I know it's a lot for you if it's through email. Or I could like do it through
handle
if it goes through email. Cause then I figure if we have a spreadsheet, then we can just block people.
We could set up a Google form. So that like the invitation, like when they answer my QR code for the kids for the Easter egg thing,
mm-hmm.
I set up the sheet where they scan it. They have to have a real email address, mm-hmm. but then they go in, they answer questions that I make up. We can make up whatever it is.
Okay.
And then when they go to sign up, you'll get their email address, you know,
and
then any
the
questions
sheet.
And it'll go into the sheet. You'll know how many people signed up, what their ages are. Well, we won't need that part, but whatever questions we ask, they have to answer them. You
okay.
could set it up however. So we could do it like that.
Okay.
And then it'll just go right to our email in a Google form. And the flyer and everything will be attached to that. And then you could make, you know, put that on social media. And then anybody could just use that QR code to sign up.
So that's the only thing I would need then. Because down in that left-hand corner, I just put reserve by Instagram or Facebook Messenger. But we would just replace
so, yeah,
that.
Yeah, we could change.
Yeah.
Once we do, we could make the flyer out of this.
One of the things.
With a QR code to sign up.
So you're signing up to do that?
When we
yeah, I can show you how to do it. We have our email account.
Yeah.
You're off.
Turned it on.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. I just switched all of my clients to an organization called Zephy, which is in Canada. I'll tell you why I switched them. It's also a nonprofit organization. They make their income from donations from people that go on it. But anything we do, let's say we have a charge for this and it's $20, they can pay by credit card. There's no fee on the credit card. 100% of the fee goes to the charity. So if you use the organizations in the United States like Eventbrite and a couple of the other ones, you're paying 3 to 7% on top of the charge fee. So I ran the dinner last year for Denise DeCenzo, and we used Eventbrite. It cost us $4,200 in charges. This year I'm using Zephy for the same dinner. It's costing me nothing, and they deposit the money on the third Tuesday of every month. So and we can set up the whole thing through Zephy. We can have flyers, we can have all kinds of things, and you can put a QR code so that it would go right to Zephy and they could book the appointment, you know, to come to the event. But I think it's not, as we're going forward, I know that when the 501c3 is in place, that's what I'm going to use because it saves us literally a fortune in credit card fees when somebody makes a donation.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to pay any of that. Like when the Boys and Girls Club just did the golf tournament, people had to pay an extra $4.85 if they used a credit card.
Oh, yeah. Right?
You know, and we don't want that. We want 100% of the income going to the Sterling.
Yeah, so email us over that information.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
And you can actually go online, go to zephy.com, and you'll see it. I didn't believe it, so I did a lot of research before I ever agreed to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing the whole Denise DeCenzo dinner this year, which is going to be 350 people. At $150 a ticket before September 15th, $175 afterwards. I'm doing the whole thing. And the first group I did, boom, I had the receipt and the money was deposited in the bank in 2 weeks. No charges, no fees. That's what we want to look at. So 100% of what we raise goes directly to the cause. So it's just something to think about. We're not there yet, but not for something like this small, but as we do bigger events, we may want to go that way.
Okay.
Do we agree that $20 per person is a good price, or do we think it should be more or less? Or
I mean, what are they getting for $20? Just a tour of going in the building, right?
And walking around. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but there's no.
So I figure, you know, if we were going to do something with Mike where we were going to have like hors d'oeuvres or appetizers or whatever, something else, it'd be different. But for $20, you know?
I mean, it's a charity. People pay. I pay upwards of $50 a ticket for tours.
Yeah.
So
I know
they're, you know, this is, but that's why I just wanted to make sure that like,
I think it's okay
with that. Okay.
I do for what they're getting. Yeah. So
doesn't work. We do it different.
There you go.
If it's a killing, we'll charge more next time.
So we'll do. So October 11th tentatively right now. And then at least I could use this form. This flyer temporarily and see if we could even do it first.
And the route is laid out on that next paper.
Yeah, I saw it. That's awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so 8B, future tours. What do we got? Well, anything?
I guess we can table that since we're
since this came up. Okay. That sounds good. Is there any other questions, concerns, comments, or anything before we adjourn? Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was just wondering if we could, with the whole future tour thing, I was just hoping that we could create a system of just, you know, if it's impromptu or we have a couple weeks notification or even a couple days, like perfect example, I tried to chime in, but it was a little busy over here. The all year alumni thing, I feel like if we had a system where we could put it in place where we could do impromptu tours for special events like that, and also, is that a possibility that we can get a tour, a limited tour for that day?
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, there's a lot of Derby alumni who have.
They don't even know what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, who have a lot of passion and stories and money from the city, in the city. So I think that that's an excellent opportunity that shouldn't be squandered.
Mr. Garfalo, could you give us a little. You're on the 350, right? What is this all-American reunion or all-class reunion? But they're blocking off the green and they're having vendors?
The road's going to be blocked from 5th to Thompson Place on Elizabeth Street. I mean, it's a class reunion that we've done, a bunch of times. And it hasn't been done in a bunch of years now, but it's been done before. It was at, like, in years past, when there were more bars and places to go, each decade was at a different location. And it was tried when there were other restaurants that were like outside of the downtown, you know, to try to do it, but it didn't really work. So our intent, or the people that were kind of spearheading it, the intent was to have it downtown with Twisted Vine, Elks, and Fuego, because those are the institutions that are here. October 30th is Labor Day weekend. I mean, August 30th is Labor Day weekend, believe it or not, because September 1st is Monday, so that's Labor Day. In later years, it was always on Labor Day weekend, so that was the decision to be made. Long story short, Twisted Vine has a wedding that night. So instead of having people move around doesn't really work. So it was kind of then decided that we would just do it as like a block party. It's on the schedule and on the a Facebook event under the 350th.
So are they having vendors?
No. So it's going to be – so basically the Elks and the – So it's, but, and we're not, it's not just an all class reunion of Derby High School classes. It's basically a city reunion. So if people lived there, wanted to live here,
right,
want to come to the party, whatever, it's really kind of a open.
Invite one, invite all.
So
I got you.
Yeah, right. So it's going to be a block party too. So we're calling it citywide reunion and block party. So basically, it's going to be outside in front of the Elks and Fuego. Elks is going to be selling food. Fuego obviously has their menu as well. We have two dessert food trucks because we don't want to take away from the businesses there. But the dessert, they Elks is not providing dessert, and what neither is Fuego. So, and we have a band playing coming. AG3 is the name of the band that features two Derby guys, Nick DeFala and Anthony. Junior Palmieri, sorry. And that's pretty much it. Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
I see that it's from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yeah. Okay.
So it is a later time frame, just so.
We could, you know, it's still going to be light at 6, so, you know.
Do we have, we have enough lighting in the building, like if it does get dark?
No, yeah, there's plenty.
Okay. And that's why I said I wanted to flush out maybe a system that we can have. So if we were to do these impromptu tours, you know, we have, okay, lighting check, you know, what do we need from City Hall to get, you know, access to the building as quick as possible. Do you have anything to add, Dana?
I think.
No? Okay.
I mean, who cares what I felt?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we should really look into that. I think that's a bigger, you know, opportunity than some of these other festivals.
I mean,
so
I don't know if it's really.
That's my question. We're like imposing ourselves.
Well, talk. Go ahead. What's the matter? Okay.
I just don't know if this event is set up for it. To be honest,
I'm not sure that that's what they want us to like encroach on their thing there, you know.
Well, it's
we're just kind of like inviting ourselves. They've already got it's not about us, you know.
But that's just my opinion.
Well, that's a good opinion.
That's a good opinion. Plus, there'll be a lot of drinking. We don't want drunks going up to the stage. That's the last thing we
do. I just think it's our perfect demographic, and I think it's something that we should think about, you know. But if the group doesn't think it's a good idea, that's...
Well, I think I could get the information at least and find out what we got to do, what we don't got to do, and see if it fits.
All right.
You know what I mean?
We don't do the tours. We have people talking about the story. And answering questions.
Yeah.
I was amazed at how many people came up to the tent before. Yeah. Items and asked questions that never went on before. So it might be, that might be an added attraction. Or not. I don't know.
Well, we'd have to talk to the 350 guys to find out.
Yeah, there he is.
Well, he's silent over there.
There's
no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if it's, you know, I mean, that's the event. You asked me what the event was, so that's the event. But, I don't know what time it gets dark. I would definitely not recommend it. Me personally, if it's dark.
I'm going to be honest. I just don't think that the event that's going to go on that day is something that, if I was going to go to that event, all class reunion, I'm not going in the Opera House.
Yeah,
I agree.
I got other things to do. You know what I mean? I'm
going to be there till 11 p.m.
So I just don't think.
I just thought maybe open it to the.
Yeah, I just don't
open, you know, it's not like a full tour, just on. Open the area. You know, if it is a block party and it was very similar to the Derby Fest or whatever. What's that? I'll talk to
him. Okay, so we'll do that.
Event like was like Derby. You guys came and drew your event. Like not the 350.
Right.
I'm just looking at sunset.
That was different though.
Yeah, that was an all day thing too.
No, I know. So the time, like you mean, it might be a practical consideration if you can only do 10 at a time and it takes 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's my thing.
If you could, hold on a second. Let's play. Well, if, not even.
Yeah.
Probably around 7:30.
Yeah, 7:30 is sunset. I mean, you know, if you could only get like 30 people, then you have a fight.
It's not one of the fight. It won't even be worth it.
You know, would people come early?
Well, I like Dave's idea to you know.
But the booth though,
yeah,
people
are going to be able to certainly see that we're doing something.
Yeah,
to do whatever you want to do,
and people behind the booth did a great job talking up what we're about to do.
Yep,
and you're certainly welcome to do whatever you know, in coordination with the event. I mean, it's all we're all the same family. So I mean, well, however, you know, whatever makes sense to. That part. I don't know. The tours is a different animal based on. Because, you know, because the other thing, too, like in the afternoon, you don't get as much light. You know what I mean? So it's hard, without the natural light. There's not really lighting in the auditorium, is there?
Well, yeah, we have lighting.
What's
up? Put light.
The what?
Lighting. You put lighting inside the.
Oh, there's lighting through the whole place. Yeah.
Yeah. It's rigged so there's light.
Tours, but it's a good time for informational.
Okay, I agree with that. Before we close, we can note for the record, Alderman Ronnie still entered the meeting to bless us with his presence.
He wants to know when you're.
Yeah, right. When we're before we're ready to go, is there anybody that can make? Are you guys going to make Labor Day weekend? You guys are here Labor Day weekend. I'll
be able to make it
because I won't be here either. I'll have everything set up you guys decide.
I'm not doing that.
The other thing is too, like if you want to come on the earlier side of it, like you know what I mean, like
that's what I mean.
The earlier side would probably be because it'll be light.
Correct. And
it'll be,
yeah, and we could put our
getting tent there out and so kind
of. You'll be around Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we got a couple people.
You know, I suspect you probably don't have to stay the whole time.
Correct.
Well, it wasn't my
idea.
No. I'm just saying, like in terms of time management.
For sure.
You know.
You guys have.
All right. I think it's something that we gotta, you know, we'll look into. You're gonna do what you gotta do, and then we'll
figure out.
All right.
Let me know whatever whatever you decide.
Any other questions or concerns? We're good. All right, we'll move on to number 9. Motion to adjourn.
I don't like the motion.
All right, second. Carlene, all in favor? 6:57 p.m. Thank you. We will see you guys next.